We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark today. We're actually going to be in several passages. So, I find myself that a lot of times this time of year in January that I do a series on spiritual disciplines, practices, because it is a time that we kind of reflect on the past year, what went well, what didn't go so well, what are some of the things that we want to put in place as we go into a new year, right? How many are resolution people? Do we have any resolution people here? You do resolutions? Not many. All right. Okay, first time, huh? All right. I think I'm not a big resolution. I am all about goals, though. I think goals, especially SMART goals, SMART goals. You know, everybody know what a SMART goal is? It is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and tangible. So in other words, many times our goals don't fall into those categories, right? I'm going to lose weight, right? Well, if you just keep losing weight, you're going to come to nothing, right? It's not specific. So a SMART goal would be, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next 2 months. Okay, that would be more, one, you can measure it, right? And it is specific by a certain time. Those type of goals we tend to, especially when you write them out, you tend to fulfill. So, and then you get some support, encouragement, and accountability. See, then, man, you're going to make it. Almost 100%. Unless sometimes there's always interruptions. All right. So since the first of the year, we've looked at prayer, to pray consistently, confidently, relationally. Last week, we looked at Jesus's experience in the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days, and we looked at the spiritual disciplines that were present there. He prayed, right? He fasted. He was in God's word. Solitude, that is a spiritual discipline. Did you know that? Solitude is. And there's times that God will call us away just to hear his voice, because we got all the distraction, all the noise, and we just need to hear from God. All right? And that's sometimes harder than we realize. All right? So, you can go back and catch those on YouTube. There was a series last year. I called it Make Room. That is also there about the same time frame last year. All right? So this morning, I was going to move on into our series in John, and then it was kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes you guys say things, and it's kind of like, you know what? I need to talk about the Sabbath. Because I think if there's anything that's under attack in our day and age, it is this idea of a Sabbath. Okay? All right? And, but you're here, so you can take a, right? Okay, because you made it to church. We're going to talk about what does that word Sabbath mean? You know, when I was young, our Sabbath was Sunday. That's what we observed as a Sabbath, okay? And that wasn't that long ago. Seems like yesterday, okay? All right. There's a little bit of sarcasm there. All right. I'm glad you got it, Marie. All right. You know, our Sundays involved going to church on a Sunday morning, having a Sunday meal. Remember that one? Family, you know, maybe you don't, but that was very common. You'd have the Sunday dinner after church. If it was football season, we'd watch the football and watch the Vikings play. And then 5 o'clock was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, either at 5 or 6, wasn't it? Yeah, oh yeah, you had to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. All right, and then it was off to church. We'd have a Sunday evening service. So that's back in the days when that was very common. All right, and Sunday evening services don't seem to be as much of a thing as they used to be. You know, businesses weren't open on Sundays, and so there wasn't a lot of activities invading those times. You didn't have club sports happening on Sundays, right? You didn't have the stores open. And we don't realize that, but I was in the Bahamas. I know that sounds really rough going to the Bahamas, but it was a small island, the small island of Exuma, right? I walked one block from where I was teaching, and I was on white sandy beaches, and nobody was hardly there. Isn't that crazy? But there I was. But the weird thing about Exuma is on Sunday, there was nothing open. Man, if you didn't have your car gassed up, it wasn't getting gassed up. If you didn't have groceries, you're going to have to wait till Monday. right? So they had those laws still in place in Exuma. It was kind of cool. And it was kind of like, wow, you know, we've gotten so far away from that that Sunday is just business as usual, right? So let's talk about a Sabbath, all right? So before we jump in, let's look, pray, and then we're going to look at Exodus 20 is where we're going to begin. So Lord, we thank you for this day. We give you the thanks and the praise. And we just pray in these moments that you would speak to us through your word. And we give you the thanks. In your name we pray, amen. I already said that. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. All right, I'm going to find it here. So your Bible probably says something along the lines, the 10 commandments, right? So it's screwed. I'm not going to just read one. I'm going to read all of them, okay? And God spoke all these words to Moses. And he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So God's brought them out of something, and he wants them to be distinct. He wants them to be separate from the world around them. Are you catching that? Okay? So, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you up. Verse 3, you should have no other gods before me. So the idea of idolatry, that there's only one God, there's not multiple gods. You will serve one God, me, right? Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. All right, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, just like all the other nations had these graven images out of wood, metal. They worship the stars. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for their sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. That's something we really see in the Old Testament of those who hate me. But verse 6, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Will not hold any guiltless who misuses his name. So that's where we usually get the idea of cussing or swearing, right? And to even take the Lord's name in vain, okay? Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you are to labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord God has given you. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Short and to the point. That would be to take innocent life. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Keep your marriage covenant. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Not covered your neighbor's wife, their male or female servant, his ox, his Cadillac, Mercedes, okay, his donkey. That's what it's saying there, right? All right. I know you've all been coveting your neighbor's donkey, all right? All right. No, probably more their house or their car, right? Anything that belongs to your neighbor. Those are the Ten Commandments. So out of those Ten Commandments, which one do you think we follow the least? Yeah, I think it would be. I think it is one, because it's like murder, right? We all kind of feel like that's not right. Even our society, right, goes along with that. Most of those we observe as Christians, and we'd see them still relevant today, but the one I think we wrestle with the most is the Sabbath day. And God was so adamant about this, if you jump ahead to chapter 32, verses 12 through 17, and it'll be up on the screen as well. But you jump ahead a few chapters, as it says, the Lord said to Moses and say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. They will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. So there's something about the Sabbath day that it's more than just a rule, okay? Don't work on the Sabbath. Verse 14, observe the Sabbath because it's holy to you, anyone who desecrates it will be put to death. Woo! Capital punishment. Not because of murder, not because you took something, because you didn't observe my Sabbath. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Verse 15, for 6 days work is to be done So I know that if half of you don't show up next Sunday, I know what happens, right? Oh, no, just teasing. All right, whoever does any work on the Sabbath day will be put to death. Verse 16, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as lasting covenant. It'll be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. So resting on the seventh day set them apart from the rest of the world. When the rest of the world saw that, hey, wow, they don't work on the Sabbath day, that seventh day, it was a sign to them that they were different, they were unique, and God had to set them apart. I think that still holds true today. It's important to note that the Sabbath day was on which day of the week for us? Saturday, right? All right? And so we're going to talk about why Sunday, right? Why is that sometimes seen as a Sabbath in our culture? So God was so adamant about it, even the death penalty. So it's kind of like, you know, I kind of reverse psychology. Don't work on the seventh day or you'll die. But I love to work, right? I love to work. And I don't know if it's so much that people love to work. It's just that a lot of times we feel like we have to work. Are you there? Because the list gets bigger. For the Jewish believer, the Sabbath began on Friday evening and went till Saturday evening. So why was God so firm on this commandment? Did he want to deprive us of fun? Did he want to make it so we have one more rule to follow? You think? I think so. I'm joking. I don't think God wanted people to die. Rather, I think God wants to have the best for you and I. Thus, he made this a point to get across that woven and wired into us is the idea that we need a day of rest for our body, our soul, and mind. Instead of taking delight in the Sabbath, many of the Israelites saw it as a rule to be followed rather than a practice that could bless their life. So when Jesus came on the scene, the Israelites were very religious about the Sabbath day, what it should look like, but it was only a rule for them. And they missed the idea of the delight, the joy, the blessing that comes from a Sabbath rest. And that's what I want you to catch above anything else, is the delight that God had in mind. So the first principle there is a Sabbath rest is rooted in Scripture. It's found in Scripture, Old and then in the New Testament as well. All right? And to go along with that, one of the illustrations I saw is that often, whether in sports or whatever, there's boundaries, right? And even in our yards, if you have young kids, you have a fence up. Let's go with that one. You have a fence up, all right? How many have a fence around your house? All right. Keep the dog in, right, so it doesn't get in trouble. Do we put the fences there to take away fun, to penalize? Why is the fence there? Safety, to protect, right? To protect from the outside, to protect them, keep them from getting lost, right, Karen? Right? Right? So the fence is there for protection. And a lot of the guidelines we see in Scripture aren't there to take away our fun. They're there to provide guidance, to bless our life, and to protect our life. And to watch over our life. Okay? Is that helpful? I hope that's maybe a helpful illustration. A lot of Christians nowadays I've seen a lot more of them actually observing what would technically be the Sabbath day on Saturday because of the Chosen series, all right? And because that's kind of brought to the forefront this idea of the Sabbath and the Saturday. And, that's cool. If that works for you, that's cool. And we'll talk more about why Sunday again, okay? So, let's look at Jesus. Mark chapter 6, 1 through 2. What did Jesus do? Isn't that a good question to ask? Because we have what is in the Old Testament, but what did Jesus do several hundred years later? Mark chapter 6, 1 through 2, it says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples, and when the Sabbath day came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. So what was Jesus doing on the Sabbath day? He was what? He was teaching, wasn't he? Yeah. So for him, that would be a little bit like me. It's work, right? Right. It takes energy to speak and to do it well, right? So it was somewhat of a, he was working. All right, Jesus. All right, what are you trying to tell us here? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, 9 through 14. Going from that place, he went up into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. All right, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Isn't that an interesting question? Jesus said to them, if one of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, are you not going to take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And so he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So there you see how the Sabbath day for them had become a religious rule to follow. There were certain things they could do and certain things they could not do, but they totally lost the point of what the Sabbath day was to accomplish. It was to be a delight. It was to restore their heart, their body, their mind, their soul. It was to be a delight to them. And all they could get hung up was on, they were legalistic and they followed the law. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17. On the Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. A woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for how many years? 18 years. That's a long time. And she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath a second time. Wow. The synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on these days. Isn't that funny? Not on the Sabbath, right? How dare you? Verse 15, the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, say one thing, do another. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years long, be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her? Isn't that good? And when he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. All right, one more. Mark 2, 23 through 28. And on the Sabbath day, Jesus was going through the grain fields. As his disciples were walking along, they began to pick some of the heads of grain. So in the Jewish custom, and according to Scripture, when you harvested your field, did you harvest the whole thing? No. What did you do? You left some all on the edges. So I'm not sure if this was harvested or not harvested, but the practice, according to Scripture, is they were supposed to leave some along the edges so that if people needed it that didn't have a field, maybe they were just on the edge of poverty, they could go out. You see this in the story of Ruth and Boaz, okay, the book of Ruth, all right? And Boaz was even more generous because he says, hey, let her throw some out for her, help her out, all right? And so they were going along, picking some heads of grain as they went along. And if you've lived on the farm or you're part of agriculture, you'll take a handful of grain and you go like this, and what do you do with it? Pop it in your mouth, right? Okay, you've done that, right? And so he says, look, what you are doing is unlawful on the Sabbath. They were considered it probably harvesting, right? And he answers, have you ever read what David did when him and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar, the priest, high priest? He entered the house of God, ate some of the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for who? God? Man. Not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. And I think that is the key thing that we need to catch, is that the Sabbath was not created for God, another rule for us to follow. It was created for you and I. Because God knows how we are designed and how we're created. Okay, and from the life and the teachings of Jesus, we see that Sabbath rest was not a rule to be followed, a practice rather than to find delight in. It was a day that we can worship God, replenish our body, soul, and mind, and even do some good towards others. So the principle is a Sabbath rest is not a rule to be followed, but a delight to be practiced. We do rules out of obligation because we have to because of consequences, but a Sabbath day was to be a good day. To rest from our normal work, to rest from our body, rest our soul, our mind, and to hear from God. So how does that play out in our crazy, hectic worlds where there is Sundays really aren't a Sunday anymore? So let's go on to third point, point three. So on the Sabbath day was on Saturday. Why do we observe Sunday kind of in our culture as the Sabbath day? Why? Some of you know this. Because of the resurrection, right? So it's interesting that Jesus would be crucified on what day of the week? Friday, right? And they had to hurry up to get him in the ground before sunset because that's when the Sabbath would begin. And Saturday he was in the tomb, and then on Sunday morning he is resurrected, all right? And so at some point there was a shift in the early church where they would tend to meet on Sundays rather than on Saturday. And it seems to be that it's tied to the resurrection. Colossians, Paul says this to the Colossians, the church there in Colossae. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. Okay, so there was division over wine, no wine, meat offered to idols, not offered to idols, religious festivals, new moon celebrations, and the Sabbath day. For these are a shadow of what will come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So you can imagine a Jewish person that embraced Christ. For them, Saturday, the Sabbath, would still be pretty important for them, and it'd be pretty natural for them to worship on that Sabbath day, right? Because that's what they've been raised with. In fact, for somebody else to worship on a different day, it's kind of like, oh, man, you're not holy, you're a heathen, right? But for a Gentile getting saved, they probably didn't have that backdrop. All right, no day was different from the other, okay? And maybe there were certain days but it was based on maybe their culture, not on the religious background. So a Sabbath day or a day to worship God would look different for them. And Paul reached both Jews and Gentiles, and so they had divisions. They both had given their lives to Christ. They were wanting to follow God. But what day to worship on? And Paul says, you know what? There's no day that is specifically sacred, okay? But I still see the need for a Sabbath day. So in our fast-paced world, I think the idea of Sabbath or Sabbath rest is intriguing, inviting, yet our culture is hostile to a Sabbath rest. It is. If you expect our culture to provide that time, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to be intentional about it. Because we think about all the things we need to get done and the time we have to do it in. I go back many years and it's kind of like my life was simpler there, I think. Right? Talk more about that. But if you're married with children, there are plenty of activities to do. You know, I mean, if we were to take the Sabbath day very, very literally, it's kind of like, sorry, kid. You're going to have to wait to changing your diaper until Saturday morning. Saturday evening, we'll get it there. But, you know, if we were to take things literally, you're not getting fed until then. And so how does that play out? There's school activities, there's club sports, there's the normal busyness of life. If you're retired, you got the grandkids' activities, you're doing other activities you enjoy. If you're a college student, all right, you got classes, papers to write. Got a friend that is working on his master's, and he's a pastor, and it's kind of like he's taking his first class. You know, it's been many years, and it's kind of like there's a huge, that first class is just a huge learning curve for people. And, man, it's about done them in, right? But there's activities, and so, and then we have these things, right? We have all the technology, right, that is bombarding us, whether it's TVs or other devices. It's pretty hard for us to really have some quiet time and really to be unplugged from them. So in 2021, I took a month off in June, kind of like a sabbatical type of deal. And I had to be creative. It was really hard. How do I disconnect? Because I want to be able to have a phone, right? And we went to West Virginia and Virginia. We actually went out to Regent University where I graduated. I graduated, but, you know, because of COVID, I didn't have a graduation ceremony out there. And anyway, we went out there and visited. But so we had to create email accounts. I had to take some accounts off my phone because I can get text messages. I was blocking you guys. I'm sorry. I was blocking you. But you know what it's like, Dan, right? You try to get a date, all of a sudden you get the text or the phone call. How do we unplug, folks, so that we just get a day where we can hear from God? We need that time. All right, there again, it's not a rule to be followed, but it's a practice to take delight in that will bless us. The third principle is a Sabbath rest is the antidote to a hurried life. Antidote is the cure, the vaccine, right? Sabbath rest. Now, for me, Sundays don't work very well to take a Sabbath rest. It's a busy day for me, right? After I get everything done, Sunday afternoon, I can relax. But my day is what I think some of you know. What day do I usually take off? Friday. Yep, I heard a few of you. Yep. Friday is my day. That, you know, if I'm going to go hunting, that's a day, or go fishing, you know. I'll do a few things like that. Even this last Friday, I went out and I had to go check some things out there with my tree stands and trail cameras. And I just enjoyed getting out there. Everything's dead, right? It was kind of cool being out there. And came back in one piece. That's always a good thing. But I enjoyed. There's something about being out in nature that energizes me and renews me. Okay? What is that for you? Sabbath literally means to stop our normal work activities, to pause, to worship, to rest, to breathe, to catch our breath, to recharge. Studies have shown that there's no productivity advantage to working over 50 hours a week. In other words, the person that works 50 hours a week and the person that works 70 hours a week, they get the same amount done. Did you just nudge him? Yeah. I'm glad this is hitting home. All right, okay. So they've done this. Seventh-day Adventists, so we have a college, Union College up in Lincoln, right? Seventh-day Adventists, that's what their background is. They're very strict about, so they would be considered Christian. Some people don't throw them in that camp, but I believe they are Christian. But they're a little more legalistic on some things. And one of the things, they get their name Seventh-day Adventist, so they observe their Sabbath is Saturday. And I grew up with kids that were like that. They didn't do sports on Saturdays. Just think about for basketball and some of those things that would mean you wouldn't contribute to a lot of those things because you just didn't do stuff on Saturdays. All right? But a doctor noted that of his clients and patients, many of the happiest people that he took care of were from a Seventh-day Adventist background. And he also noticed that they tended to live 10 years longer than normal people. Isn't that interesting? In the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer, he has a whole chapter just on the Sabbath. What I probably like about it is he has, I think, relevant application of how we can have a Sabbath rest in our day and age. And maybe some of his things are a little bit too much, but I think it helps us to catch the idea that maybe we can have a day of rest, but how about unplugging from this and our devices and just to unplug from some of the things around us just for a day and see what that would do for us. So here are some quick tips. So you're going to have to write these down. They're not up there, okay? Find a day that works best for you. So my day is Friday. My wife, it's probably Saturday, but she still works. She's back there, but she works too much on that day. Spend some time with God. Weave that into that. I think you should do that. Unplug from your devices if you can. Engage in hobbies and activities that replenish you. So when I was growing up on Sunday, I could go to church. We had the Sunday meal. I could watch football or something like that on Sunday afternoon. I could not go hunting. Okay, I guess that was in the work camp or something. I don't know. Couldn't do that. All right. I could do those other things. I still have a grudge about that. Still wounded. but engage hobbies and activities that replenish you. All right? I think that's because I think those things helped us to take our minds off of some of the things at work, the stress that is out there. I think having some things that are maybe even pretty intense, even though it may seem like work, it helps you to unplug and to energize and refuel. Okay? Some of us need that because if we do something that is too relaxed, we're still thinking about all the stuff that has to get done. We have to engage in something that actually is pretty intense, like rock climbing or, you know, it's martial arts or something. I don't know. Okay? Take a nap. Take a nap. All right? You know, my wife and I don't take too many naps nowadays, but when we were first married, so those first 2 years, she was still in college. I had graduated, was a youth pastor, did maintenance construction full-time for the college. But those first 2 years, we took somebody's advice. We did not have any TV, no TV in our house, nothing. And so for those so she was busy being a student. I was busy doing the other things. And so Sundays, we would come back and we would rest. We just had an enjoyable, we'd take a Sunday afternoon nap. That's one of the times that I really remember doing that. So read a book. Read your Bible. Enjoy being with your spouse and with your family, all right? Do some of those things. And there again, maybe it's kind of like, there is no way. I mean, if you have young kids at home, you have to be creative. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but to do somewhat and even help your kids to understand that so that they can implement that. And like if you work, a lot of companies do not follow a 5 or 6 day work week anymore, right? You work at Nestle, it's 10 days on and 2 days off. How do you do that, right? And other companies, it's hard. And so you have to do your best to work within that, all right? There again, I don't think God is going to zap you because you don't follow this to the law. And the reason is because the Sabbath wasn't made for him, it's made for you and I. To find delight, to bless us, to help us. So God put it there. All right? I'm going to have the musicians come. Is it Denise? Is it just you, Denise? All right. Musician. All right. The Sabbath day was made for you and I. It's a practice to delight in, not a rule to be followed. And you know what? Can you do it without doing a Sabbath? You probably can. You might shave 10 years off of your life, right? If you don't observe the Sabbath day. I just think the longer I live, I don't know, I have to tell myself this, that some things can wait till tomorrow. There's some things that can't, but there's some things that can wait till tomorrow. And I believe a Sabbath rest is truly an antidote for a hurried and a crazy life. There's a book out there called Sabbath as Resistance. It's resisting the pull of culture. And it leads us down a good path towards restfulness, joy, happiness, blessed life. Okay, so there's a book called Sabbath by Dan Allender. This is his quote. Okay, this is the quote. If you're under 18, you have to plug your ears. All right, the Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best for our lives. Without question or thought, it is the best day of the week. It is a day we anticipate Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so whatever your Sabbath day, the days leading up to it, you anticipate. And the day after, and the day of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we reflect upon how good it was. Sabbath is a holy time where we feast, play, dance, make love with our spouse, sing, pray, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, watch creation in all its fullness. Isn't that cool? Sabbath is for you and I. Points also, did you know what it has some future meaning to it, the Sabbath? Did you know that? See, I think we have to really dig in and see why is the Sabbath so important to God? Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, one that's still to come. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So a Sabbath is a picture of that one day we're going to rest from this world. Our work, all the stress, all the struggles, we're going to go into God's presence. We'll be with him. There's not going to be any of that we have to think about. No final exams. No toiling work. No sickness, no more pain. We rest. Amen? And so it's a picture of what is still to come. So I don't know how this applies to you. I think each of us needs to look at our own lives and say, you know what? God hasn't wired us to go every day 100%. Give it five or six days 100%, and then take a day or two to recharge. You'll notice the difference. It's going to bless your body, your soul, your spirit, all of it. At times we run, and then we wonder why we're in the shape that we are. Why we're depleted, why we're tired, why we're exhausted. And God is saying, well, here it is. But we zip past it. Would you stand this morning? God wants everyone to enter into his rest, whether it's now or in eternity. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. That's the major. God doesn't want anybody to miss out on heaven, the forgiveness of sins, to know him as your Lord and your Savior. And so we do this every Sunday because whether somebody's listening online, somebody here, you need to know that God loves you and you can know him as your Lord and your Savior. So would you pray with me this morning saying, dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior, and walk with me each day of my life. Amen. And Lord, this morning I pray, just as we sing this closing song, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. In our area of the nation, we work hard. That's one of our strengths. It's one of the things that people were known for. Hard workers. That's a good thing. But Lord God, we also need to know how to take that day, that time, to dedicate to you to replenish our body, our soul, and mind. Because our culture is going to fight us all the way. It's going to fight us. And so, Lord God, help us how we can do it and do it well. In a way that glorifies you and blesses us. God, we pray. We need you this morning. Lord God, help us. Help us to grow deeper to you and one step closer to you, Lord God. And I believe part of that is having a prayer life. Part of that is having patterns to study your word. Part of it is to have that day that we set aside give to you, our family, to unplug, to hear your voice. God, I don't think it's a matter that you're not speaking. I believe you are speaking, but sometimes we have to turn down the noise. We have to slow down and hear your voice. So, Lord God, give us the wisdom, how that looks in our own life, Lord God. It's not about condemnation here, Lord. It's about drawing closer to you. So, Lord God, help us. Guide and direct us. We give you the praise and the glory. We ask it in your name. And everybody said, amen. Christy, I'm going to have you. But if you need prayer this morning, I know one of you needs prayer for prayer this morning. We're going to pray for you. And so join us up front here. We'll pray for you.